I want to pick up in our second message in a series that we started last week called Ancient Words. This is one of our favorite series here at Cornerstone because we love teaching about the connecting the dots in the scripture. We love talking about the Jewish roots of the scripture. And so throughout series like this one, we're able to pull out special Hebrew words. And I'll add that we're going to throw a few Greek words in this time around, but we like pulling out these very, very ancient words that show up over and over again in the scriptures. They're repeated over and over again. And because the scriptures were written over thousands of years on three different continents, it's a library, it's a collection of different books, God had a way of repeating himself. All of the scriptures are 100% written by human hands, but they're 100% inspired by God. And so God was trying to communicate certain messages through the scripture. These ancient words that we choose all happen to be themes throughout the Bible. And themes are important when you're trying to read your Bible. So this series is about helping you in your time of reading the scriptures to better understand it. I mean, most of us have had the experience of opening up a part of the Bible. You read something, maybe it touches you, but then maybe you read something else and you have no idea what it's saying. Context can help, understanding how to understand it in historical context, but also understanding the big themes of Scripture can help answer some of those questions about what it is that God is saying. And so today, we're going to talk about the theme of leadership in the Scripture, specifically God's leadership of us. And I'm going to teach you three words. Because there are a number of words that show up in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, that often translate to words like lead or leadership, to guide, to direct. And they are not three words that say the same thing in a different way. They describe the nuanced, careful, flexible, adaptable leadership of God in our life. Now, you're not going to leave remembering the words. In fact, if you were to try to pronounce any of these words in your everyday life, people would think you're cursing at them, all right? Because it's Hebrew, and you start using Hebrew, walking around Boulder County, it can be a little bit weird. But here's what I do want you to remember, that God adjusts his leadership at just the right time to give us what we need in the moment. So hear that again. God adjusts his leadership at just the right time to give us what we need in the moment. And this is what good leaders do. Good leaders adjust. They know that not everyone needs to be led exactly the same way. And not only that, not only does not everyone need led exactly the same way, the people, the same person needs led differently at different times. I want you knowing that God is careful. He's thoughtful in his leadership and how he leads us. And before we jump into the words, I do want to say this. I just like taking the opportunity anytime we talk about leadership here to thank all of the different leaders that are in the room. Some of you may say, I'm not a leader, but I would say if you're a person with influence that you have the role of leadership in your life, and I want to say thank you to you. Your job is really important. Even if your influence and your leadership is only in your home over your family, God loves your family through your leadership. Some of you lead very complex organizations. Hundreds of people involved, in some cases people here at Cornerstone, thousands of people involved, different values and goals, and it can be really, really difficult, especially in this time and age where people don't agree on anything. You often don't hear from anyone else that what you do is important. I want you to know that your leadership is important. I want to say thank you to you. And I want us all to be reminded that we lead in a different way as Christians. We're called to be servant leaders. We're called to lead from the bottom up. John Stott, great thoughts on leadership. This is what he says about servant leadership and the different character of Christian leadership. He says, the authority by which a Christian leader leads is not power, but love. Not force, but example. Not coercion, but reasoned persuasion. Leaders have power, but power is safe only in the hands of those who humble themselves to serve. The world would be a very different place if people led this way. But I know many of you are working to do that. And I want you to know that that's a special thing. When you study leadership in the Bible, you'll read about a bunch of different types of people that God used as leaders, different personalities, different gifts, men and women, young and old. There's not a certain type that God sets up and says, these are the leaders you're meant to follow. But I will tell you this, there is a certain style, or not style, there's a certain type of leadership that God does say is very, very special, the most special, and it's this. It's the leadership of a parent, which fits today with baby dedications. And it's no coincidence that when when God is describing or trying to illustrate the type of leader that he is, he chooses the leadership of a mother and a father to say, this is what God is like. And so if you're a parent or a grandparent or a future parent, oh man, God holds up your role in a very special way. It's a gift. And I'll tell you what, we all have different challenges. I've got four boys. They are all very, very different. We're into similar things. It's very different. And it takes Elise and I and all the help of God to lead our boys the best that we can. So I just want to say to the parents, thank you. Good job. All right, let's get to these three words. The first Hebrew word is the Hebrew word nahah, pronounced nahah. Second is nahal. And the third is the Hebrew word nahag. They sound similar, but they are very, very different. Nahal, that first word, is the word that's meant to describe the directional leadership of God. So you can think of God out in front leading. The second word describes the gentle, careful leadership of God that leads people to a place of rest. That's the word nahal. And then lastly, the most common of all the words that shows up for leadership in the scriptures, the word nahag. And it means to be led by being pushed. So we'll save that one for last because that's the one that we like the least. All right. Let's start with nahal. This is really our most common understanding of leadership. This is the idea that someone's out in front and they're pointing us in a certain direction. And we need this. We need God at times in our life, not just at times in our life, our entire life, to point us in a direction that is right, a direction that leads to flourishing. That's one of the purposes of the scriptures, to point us towards a life of flourishing for all people, not just for some people. The Bible is a book of leadership because it's pointing the way. This is the type of leadership that often is used when they're describing leading out of something. So you're leaving something that maybe was difficult or needed to end or something that was bad for us, and now we're being led in a different direction towards something that is better, more full of peace and joy and purpose. This word in the scriptures often shows up as the type of leadership that governs. So it's not just leading in the right direction, but it's governing in the right way. That collectively we are led together towards something that is good for all people. So you'll see this word show up in different places that way. But the idea I want you to have with this word is that we are meant to follow. God is out in front marking the way. When you read the Gospels, you will notice that the most common invitation Jesus gives to people that he's running into is this: come follow me. That he's leading in a certain direction. He's building something. He's moving people in a certain direction. We are meant to follow. In the Hebrew Bible, this word is used when God is leading his people from one place in life to another. And so the great story where this occurs is the story of the Exodus. The Jewish people have been delivered from slavery, hundreds of years in slavery. They're being led to a new place. But before they get to that place, they have to wander through a desert. God was faithful to lead nahah. In Exodus 13, 17, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead nahah them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So the neat story, here's the context I'll tell you quickly. Israel has just left Egypt. They're a nation of slaves. They don't have an army. They don't have weapons. They couldn't go the shorter route because if they would have gone the shorter route, they would have been attacked and they would have had to fight. They are not yet ready for war. They're not yet ready to defend themselves. And so God's leadership is meant to protect them. Follow me. It might be the longer road, but this will protect us. Often when God leads, he's leading us to protect us. It might be a longer route. It might be less efficient, but God's got our care in mind. Now in that same story, we see that God also led them day after day after day, one step at a time. So every step along the way in your life. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide, nahah them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. He's physically leading them in a certain direction. So there's illustrations of this in life. I mean, teachers and coaches that point us in a certain direction. But, I love Western history. I love the story of the West and how the West was, Native Americans were here, and then as people from the East are moving West, they're needing guides to make it through this wilderness. In the early 19th century, If you wanted to make it to the West Coast, you took a northern route north of Colorado, or you went south of Colorado. It was much easier. And so the middle of the Western states was really just not occupied, not settled by people from the East. And so it took Native American guides to guide the way, or it took people like Kit Carson, who was a guide and a trapper, to guide the way. So Kit Carson is one of those amazing guides. He actually made it through the Colorado Mountains, the Utah Mountains, dozens of times. And he was credited with the one that found the safest, most efficient passage through this very, very rugged state. And so let's say you're a settler and you want to settle on the Western Slope. You've got to find the best way to get there. And often this travel was done in the cold months, and you needed a guide. And so when I think of God as leading us in a certain direction, a direction that we want to go, I often think of people like Kit Carson, that's literally not just pointing the way, he's not just directing it on the map, but he is guiding us every step of the way along the way. That's how God leads. But God is not just directing us to move in a certain direction, but he's trying to move us towards something personal. More often than not, God's direction and leadership in our lives has to do with our character and our inner being and caring for our heart and our soul than it has to do with the external things in our life. So this is something we have in common. We get preoccupied with all of the externals. What should I do? Where should I live? Who should I date? Who should I marry? Where should I be involved? These are important things. God cares about these things. And often God will tell us, but there are many times, at least in my life, God has not answered those prayers. God, tell me exactly what to do. Tell me what choice to make. Tell me what job to take. Often those decisions are left to wisdom. He just allows me and Elise to make those decisions on our own. But I can tell you this is what I know that God is always doing in my life, is he's always trying to form me into a different type of person, a certain type of person. So last week, our Hebrew word was teshuva, which is the word for repentance, which means to return. Okay, if you think of it this way, we need someone to lead us in our return. To grow spiritually means that you're becoming more and more the person God created you to be. Or you could say it this way, you're returning to your original design. We need God's direction. We need his formation. We need his help in saying, hey, this is a different way to be me. So I often tell young people they get stuck in their decisions. They think that there's just this magic combination of all the decisions that they need to make so that their life will be blessed. Sometimes it makes them nervous to say, oh yeah, most of the time we make the wrong decision. But here's the good news, God is with us and he helps us. But I try to help young people say, hey, it's not some magic combination of decisions that you have to make to be blessed. What blesses you is that you have God in your life. And he will be with you no matter what choice that you make. Even bad ones, God is with us. So God is interested in forming character. So here's an example of that with this word, Psalm 27:11. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me, Nahah, in a straight path. Form my character. Teach me, change me. But here's the coolest thing about being led by someone else. Ultimately, God's leadership in our life is meant to point us towards a person, towards a relationship. Not the perfect job, not even the perfect marriage, not endless virtuous change in our life. Ultimately, it's meant to point us towards the relationship in which we find our true life. Psalm 61:2, speaking of Jesus, from the ends of the earth I call to you, I call as my heart grows faint, lead Nahami to the rock that is higher than I. The rock is referenced to Jesus here in this passage. God's leadership is always meant to point us back towards him, more of him, more of Jesus in our life. And so Nahah is the idea is God is out in front leading us to be a person, leading us in a direction. Now the second word is the word pronounced Nahel. And Nahel is the type of leadership that we know in our life. It's that we've experienced when someone is very patient and gentle with us. This word is often used in the Hebrew scriptures to describe the type of leadership that leads us to a place of rest, place of peace. So you lead someone so that they might get to the place where they can let it all down, where they can relax. And not just relax, but certain things can be put to rest. And we can't talk about it enough, but there are so many negative thoughts going on in people's mind today. And there are judgments that people place on themselves, or they've heard harsh things said by other people, and they constantly have these things running in their heart and their mind. You know, I can tell you that there's only one place where those things are put to rest. And it's when we begin to hear the voice of God speak over us and speak our identity and our value. And it's not an easy thing. But that is the gentle leadership of God putting us to rest, giving us shalom. It's another special Hebrew word. It means to have full wholeness, health, and rest in life. That is where this kind of leadership, it's gentle, it's patient. This is the type of leadership that cares about pace. It's patient. So if the first type of leadership is God is out in front, I picture this type of leadership, God is right beside us going at our pace. Isaiah 40 verse 1, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Genesis 33, speaking of Jacob actually leading this way and his whole family and the flocks that are with him. You can see the word behind me, Nahel. He's saying, I have to go slow or they will die. I have to slow down. My leadership has to be so patient and attentive to the weakest and most vulnerable in my party that I have to go very, very slow. You go before me. While I move, Nahel, while I gently lead along slowly at the pace of the flocks, he says. This is a beautiful part about God's leadership. Modern people love this, right? That God is patient and attentive and gentle. And the reason for that is we live in a world where leaders are aggressive. They can be oppressive. They can just drive certain things for their ambition. They can step over people all along the way. And so to hear that God actually goes at our pace, I mean, that's comforting. That he goes at our pace to lead us to a place of rest. One of the things new parents first learn is that their pace in life changes. I remember before we had kids, we were around some friends that had young kids, and we found out that they structured their entire day around nap time. And I thought that was the stupidest thing I had ever heard. Kids exist for parents, right? No. Once we had our boys, the Carlucci schedule structured around the boys' naps over and over. I mean, there's a different pace. Over the years, we've taken our boys to Disneyland and Disney World, and depending on their age, we were able to go at different paces. But I grew up with two brothers, and we were rowdy, and every time we would go to Disney, the only memory I have is you go as hard as you can. I mean, they rip you off, right? So you want to get as much out of Disneyland or Disney World as possible. And so we would have like a goal. We want to go on this many rides. And so when Elise and I were married and we're taking our boys and they're little, I'm thinking this is how Disney is going to work. We're going to go as hard as we possibly can. And so I've got these little boys and I'm grabbing them by the hand and we are running to the front of the line because it's the only way to do it. Well, what happens after you do that for a couple of rides? Like you got kids crying and falling on the ground, pretending like they're dead, limp bodies. How about the thing while you're holding your kid, they kick you and then headbutt you with the back of their head? I mean, they have skills. Thank God, God gave the Carlucci boys and Carlucci cousins moms, because the moms are like, this is not a sustainable pace. They need a nap. You need to slow down. I mean, it's funny, parents learn it, but God knows it for us. There are times that his leadership needs to be gentle and slow and careful. And I can tell you that these two words, the first two that I've shared with you, they often show up together, God pointing us in a certain direction and gently leading us in that direction. So one example is Psalm 23. Let's put up that one, guys. It's verses 1-3. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads. Nahal, that's the gentle leadership beside quiet water. See the idea of leading to rest and peace? He refreshes my soul. He guides me. Nahal, along the right path. They show up together. Both are special. Both are needed. Let me say this to the leaders real quick. If anytime you hear about leadership and you're a leader, this is what I do. I'm like, oh, these are good techniques for better leadership. All right, you can pick up. We should learn from the leadership of God, but let's keep listening today as followers, all right? Because it's the most important thing about us. We are first followers before we're leaders, all right? So we lead. He leads us in a direction and at a pace that is appropriate. Those are the two we like. Here's the third word, and this is one that's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to follow God when he's leading this way. I will tell you that this is the most common word used to describe the guidance or the leadership of God in Scripture. In fact, it shows up 3 times the amount of times of these other words. So more often than not, God's leadership looks like this and feels like this. And this is the leadership that pushes. Or you can think of this. This is the leadership that drives. This type of leadership is necessary, excuse me, because there is resistance or opposition. The resistance can come from us. The opposition might be from the outside. So this word is used to describe driving cattle in a certain direction. It's often used to describe shepherds who don't just lead at times, but they have to push in a certain direction. No one likes to be pushed. Or we could say, no one likes to be pushed, we put up resistance, but no one likes opposition, and no one likes to be pushed through opposition. But it's really, really necessary at times. And leaders in the room understand this. There are certain things that we have to push. There is a time to drive certain things forward. Leading up to January 1865, then at the time, President Lincoln was working behind the scenes to try to get the 13th Amendment passed. The 13th Amendment would end slavery forever in America. It was not yet illegal. Slaves had just been freed in the Emancipation Proclamation. And he knew that for black men and women in America to be free for the ages to come, that they needed an amendment to the Constitution. Lincoln knew that this amendment had to be passed before the war was over. Now, during this time, this is what made it difficult. The North and the South were negotiating peace. The war was coming to an end. Everyone knew the South was defeated. They're negotiating peace. And Lincoln knew that he had to get this passed before that peace had been negotiated and the South was welcomed back in to the Union. And here's why. As soon as the South comes back in the Union, do you think they would vote to end slavery? No. So he's pulling a fast one on them. It's awesome. All right? Let's get it done before they have a say. This is what's happening. But here's the problem. Most northern congressmen wanted slavery to end, but their priority was ending the war. And it's understandable. 600,000 men and many women had died. That's the equivalent of 6 million men dying today. I mean, it was a devastating 5 years for the whole country. So they just want the war to end. Lincoln wants the war to end, but he wants to get this thing passed through. And so he has to work behind the scenes and he has to push this thing into existence. He has to push to get all the votes. And it's legendary how he used bribes and coercion to get the votes he needed. Now, I'm not saying that God does that type of thing. He doesn't use unsavory means to push his agenda. But we all know from our own life, there are times that things just have to be pushed through. There is an agreement, but we know the right way. God will push things through. He will push us through moments, through our own opposition, through the opposition that's facing us around the, you know, in the outside world. He will push us through those things. So Genesis 31, you can see an example of it being cattle being driven. You can see it behind me. That word for drove is nahag, okay? It's a good translation. Psalm 48, verse 14. Sometimes we need push through opposition, for this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even to the end. Now, this is a bad translation because the word's nahag. Guide's not helpful. It should say he will push us or he will carry us to the end. Here's another thing parents know. Sometimes you drag your kids. Sometimes you push your kids. Sometimes they don't cooperate. You just pick them up and you carry them, right? That's the idea here. There are times where we need picked up and carried because we're saying no, no, no all along the way, or we're saying no further, or we're saying how much longer. Psalm 78:52, but he brought his people out like a flock and he led, again, not the best translation, nahag, them like sheep through the wilderness. They are being pushed through the wilderness. Why? The wilderness is scary. People don't know the way. No one asks for uncertainty in front of them. So we have our own resistance to the things of God. And, you know, there's no sermon that's going to stop. That's just part of being human. We're flawed. We're vulnerable. We don't see everything that God sees. We're always going to put up resistance to the things that he wants to do. But I do want to remind us of this, that a lot of times we have the opportunity to look back on our life and see what God was doing that we were saying no to is exactly what we needed. And we now say thank you. That's what perspective allows. So there'll be times in your life where you pray for something and you don't get it and you're like, why God? And then you move through life and you look back with perspective and you say, thank you for not giving me that. Right? We talk about that a lot here. Builds faith. There are things you go through and you're like, I can't imagine a reason why I'm going through this. You get a few years down the road, you look back and you see all the things that God did. And you no longer say why, you say thank you. That's how life works. What you're saying thank you to is you're saying thank you to this type of leadership, the nahag of God, the pushing, the pulling, the carrying through. The world will also resist us. Like you might be moving in a direction that God has pointed you in the past and it gets too difficult. People start saying things to you and you're like, you start to question your calling. You start to question the direction that God gave you, and there are times that he has to push us to keep us going. And he is faithful to do it. He finishes the things that he starts. Philippians 1 is one of the favorite sections of scripture in the Bible for many people. You can see it behind me. I think if Paul were using the Hebrew language, he's using Greek here because he's writing to a Greek audience, I think he would have used the word nahag, but he says this at the end, that we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in us will carry it to completion. See, God's faithfulness is not dependent on our strength or our willingness or our faithfulness, but he pushes it through. And someday we will all have the ultimate perspective that we will look back and we'll say, oh my gosh, look what he did, thank you. Tim Keller has a famous line in his book on prayer. He says, if we knew all the things that God knew, we would pray for the things that we get right now. That's not where we're at. So we need a leader that's out in front. We need a leader that's right beside us, that's gentle, and we need the leader that pushes at times. You see how thoughtful he is, how faithful he is in the way he leads. This is what the best leaders do, and he is the best example. He's a leader like no other. So I want to invite the worship team out, and I want to close with a couple questions, and then I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm to us and just give us a chance to reflect and listen to the Lord. But I want to invite you just to go to the quiet place of prayer. Let's just bow our heads and give ourselves a moment of quiet just with the Lord. Remind you that the Holy Spirit is in the room as he always is. He is attentive to us. Spirit has been with you this week. He's with you now. Be with you in the days to come. He is a resource to you. It's how God provides his everyday leadership to you. It's through his Spirit that dwells within us. The Spirit is here. And God is always leading. Here's what I want you to identify right now. I want you to identify something in your life that you are really needing that you don't have right now. Something in your life that you are really needing, and that need is greater than a want, something that you really need. Let God bring certain things to mind. And then I want you to be aware of a very human emotion and response to needing things. We could come to the place and say that God is not providing for this need because you have the need right now. That God is not with you, that God is not active, that God doesn't care. So make you aware of that. We all have that emotion reaction to things. So what are you needing? Now here's another question. In that particular need or that particular moment, how do you see God leading right now? Is he pointing you in a different direction? A better way? Is he pointing you towards him? Is he pointing you towards some character change? Is he just asking you to slow down and rest? Or is he pushing you? Now consider this. Could it be that the thing that we need the most is the thing that he's giving us in the way he's leading? You might be asking God to hurry up and get things changed. And you know what? He might be saying, hey, I just want you to rest right here. You may have given up. You may be facing opposition. And he may be pushing you. I would argue that's the thing that you need, wherever he's pushing you. God leads. He adjusts his leadership so that we have just what we need in the moment. Okay, without awareness of how God is leading, how he's working, just to encourage you to have a heart of repentance, return to him and say, Father, I will follow you that way. Jesus, I will follow you the way you are leading. Surrender, give control. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint, bless my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your activity in our life. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you don't leave us on our own. And the way that often shows up is that you come to lead. That you're pointing us in a certain direction. I pray that we would follow. I pray, Father, at times that we would see that you're slowing us down just to be with you, to rest. To not perform, to not do anymore, but just to rest in your presence, to abide in you. I pray you'd help us do that. And lastly, Lord, I pray a very difficult prayer. I pray that in the midst of being pushed or pulled or carried through difficult times, I pray that we could still have faith, knowing that there will be a time, there will be a day that we look back and say, look how God led, look how he was faithful. Help us stay tethered, trusting in those moments. We thank you for the leadership of God. We thank you how you're present here. We thank you for the things you shared today. I bless that in Jesus' name. May it lead to life change. May it lead to joy and flourishing for my friends here. I pray it in your name. Amen.